With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we're in the office of the Dean of Students at Gloucester High School, one of the Dean of Students, Chris Cobbs, and one of the deans. I have trouble with my plural sometimes, but Chris, you know, we go back a long way. We taught together, and now you're an administrator. I did read in the Gloucester Times recently a couple of things that I questioned, and one of them, in fact, as a matter of fact, today on Thursday, I questioned the result of some of the MCAS and PARC testing, but that's another story for another day. Back on topic here, there was a survey that went out about bullying that made headlines in the Gloucester Times, and then there was another story recently that had to do with a grant that, according to the headline in the Times, had to do with bullying. So maybe you can put this in perspective for us and tell us what that's all about.
Absolutely, and thank you, Rick. So we recently qualified for a grant called the Game Change, which is the Patriots Anti-Violence Partnership. This is something that Gloucester High School has worked in collaboration with the Gloucester Police Department, Chief Leonard Campanello, Lieutenant Mike Gossam, and our school resource officer Mike Scola, along with health teacher Rosa Francis. With that being said, you know, we've really kind of dove into some of the topics that help teaching and learning that we can't control. The biggest thing about that I see in teaching and learning is developing relationships with the students. And with that being said, this anti-violence campaign was all about educating students, encouraging them to become educated themselves, more so, empower the high school leaders and mentors to educate the younger students on these issues and basically become role models in their schools and the community. So with that being said, when the grant came up from Attorney General Maura Healey and Robert Kraft, Michael Scola jumped right into place and said, this is something we want to get involved with. And I agreed wholeheartedly. Rosa Francis was, an intricate part in making this happen because part of this is rolling this into, there's two phases. Initially there's 90 schools involved, and it'll be 180 personnel that get educated over a three-day seminar. And then, more importantly, there's a phase two that only 30 schools get involved, and that's more in-depth. And that would be implemented into either your health curriculum, your advisories, athletics, clubs, et cetera. Some way, shape, or form, you need to show that you're not only trained in this, but you are utilizing it.
All right, so how is this different from what ordinarily goes on in health class now? It sounds to me as though this could be something that classroom teachers might be a little bit more involved in, get a handle on, and as you mentioned, coaches, so that it can become more of an obvious, I don't like the word proactive, but a proactive event rather than a reactionary thing.
Mm-hmm. So when if you gloss over something in your curriculum, I want this to be something, Gloucester is a community that is very tight-knit. This is a place that I've grown up in. I've, now been in education here since 2003. And with that being said, that was what made me succeed in my classroom was the relationships that I was building. And I know that, domestic violence, has reared its head here. Mm-hmm. When you looked at, national statistics, I think the numbers are 1 in 3 adolescents nationwide are victim to either physical, sexual, emotional, or verbal abuse from a dating partner. So with those statistics, we wanted to say, it is going on, and like you said, how do we get out in front of this? So with this ability, this allowed us to, there's some grant funding, but the training in itself is going to be coming from the MVP, which is Northeastern University, mm-hmm. Sport and Society. That's something I'm passionate about. I was a social studies teacher, varsity football and varsity baseball coach. It was a class that I actually wanted to implement was sport and society. Mm-hmm. And if we can tie these two things together, it is something that makes, violence or dating violence and things like that, which is very unattractive, attractive by tying it into sport and society and getting people to become more educated.
Okay. Now, you got a little specific here. The paper, the way I read it, was a little bit more general, talking about bullying. And from what I'm seeing here and what I'm hearing is, obviously in sports we have these high-profile cases of domestic violence. So we're talking about date violence prevention type thing, and we're talking about adolescents maturing into young adults, and we're talking about trying to recognize situations, dangerous situations, before they happen. So I'm guessing that this would be both a male and female education process.
Absolutely. This is not one-sided. This is basically to make students become aware of, that it is going on, and B, what some of the signs are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through this program, you'd be training trainers, so then those that become educated are taking it back. Mm-hmm. If it goes to a second phase, you start educating the students, so upperclassmen would then be working with underclassmen and their parents. The article in the Gloucester Daily Times, which, you know, referenced a lot about bullying, they do go hand in hand, because, you know, with the domestic violence or any type of violence or any of these history, with social media today, it gets spread there, and now it becomes a harassing or potentially a bullying idea.
A leading question that I have then, I mean, in all the years I was at a teacher at the high school, in 38 years, I came across, I want to say, two overt examples of bullying that I observed and reported to the administration. Two. How does that get reported in the high school? And I don't want you to get into specifics. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a leading question. But, how does it happen? Have you had cases of bullying? Do teachers come to say, this kid's getting pushed around, I can see it? Or does a kid go to a teacher and say, go to someone and help me out? What's the history of this in your tenure as an administrator?
Well, great question. I would have to say that this, you know, harassment and bullying comes to me from a number of different avenues. It does come sometimes directly from parents. It comes to me from, most of the time, friends of students that it's happening to.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll have, you know, after the first occasion, you know, I'll call that student down, and there will be a student that will follow up, a separate student, and I'll say, I want to thank them. I want to empower these students to know that, yeah, This is what I need to happen, because everything should be looked into and investigated. I'm not here to determine severity until after the investigation. But if this is taking place and it's distracting the teaching and learning that's going on, that's my main focus. If a student feels uncomfortable, you know, emotionally because of this, mm-hmm, then I need to stop it and let them know that we take it serious here at Gloucester High School. So what happens is we come in, we start off the investigation, because, like you said, you in all your years of working at Gloucester High School, the amount of bullying incidents that hit, you know, that level of severity was very minimal. And I would say that I agree with that wholeheartedly. I don't have, I have some documented cases, but nothing that got to police charges of harassment because what happens is in the initial phase, that we determine that this could be leading in that direction, we have instituted a document that outlines what Massachusetts general law is on harassment. Mm-hmm. We read through what that is. We notify the parent, both the student and the administrator sign off on it, that they recognize and understand what harassment, mm-hmm, is. And if this potential pattern continues, that's where this would lead. So, you know, although you're not proactive in necessarily that it has happened, because something has happened to start this, we do try to be proactive in eliminating it getting to the level of, you know, criminal harassment or bullying.
And what's made everything more complex, obviously, in the last few years is social media. So, yeah. And that's pretty much, it's a blank palette. It's brand new territory. It's uncharted. And we see all the time new things, new ways of dealing with it. So, what's the impact been in your experience?
It is, you know, the single most, you know, agent for spreading rumors getting students to feel that they are being, you know, attacked, mm-hmm, or harassed, and that is what it comes to. There was a couple of sites, Yik Yak or Snapchat,
right,
and things like
that.
I have to say that Officer Scola, our school resource officer, with the help of parents, we were climbing the ranks, and I don't know, I think that it does mean stuff to students, and they were at a number two, and I think they were heading to number one, and it got eliminated. Mm-hmm. So that was something that we said, we're going to take this serious. If it does involve pictures, images here at the school, then, you know, we're handling it as school discipline. But also what happens with the social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and things like that, things that are posted, you know, at 10 o'clock on the weekend, if it ends up coming in, you know, and it gets brought to our attention, we want to address it and let them know that this cannot, like I said, once again, interrupt the teaching and learning that goes on here. So, you know, although, you know, Facebook and Twitter, they help with immediacy of contacts or getting information at times, it has made the job of a dean of students, assistant principal, teachers, parents, that much more.
Well, I'm sure it's difficult, and I know some of the older generations, such as myself, it's a new experience. I love technology and media, but I know there are some teachers who resist that. So, it's a transition right now, obviously. And you bring up Officer Mike Scola, and I think I have two questions left. What is the role of Mike in all of this with respect to game change and how he works with you, or you work with him, and how he works in the building? You know, what exactly is the role of a school resource officer? And I ask this probably out of ignorance, because the headlines are all Daesh. It's all gun control.
Yep.
It's all, Sandy Hook and Columbine, horrible, horrible tragedies. But I see Mike in the building, and I see this gregarious police officer whom I knew as a student, who's just a bundle of energy and goodwill. So what's his role here? What does he do?
Developing relationships and partnerships with, Gloucester Police Department and Gloucester High School, in that he's a resource, exactly that. Mm-hmm. He's not somebody that it's the badge and gun and handcuff mentality, but rather, we have the Gloucester U program here, and we have a student academy that he has run now for 2 years, and with the biggest numbers in Gloucester U, and it is incredible. Going up to Salem District Court, meeting the judges, going to the firing range, it's endless in how he has helped, really get students to understand the role of the police, mm-hmm. and more importantly, Gloucester Police. But he works very closely with the two deans. I am his direct report. We work very closely in terms of discipline. He's the last man in. He only gets the information after we have processed all of this, and if it is need be. But ultimately, another set of eyes out making sure things are secure in our building. That's more so. It's not necessarily about him helping with the students. Mm-hmm. But, do we have a secure building? Is he able to go in and talk about constitutional law when our social studies department's working there? He's worked with forensics for science. And, yes, we want him to be approachable, mm-hmm. as we do the administrators. And I would say that that's what has changed since, we'll call it the 50s, 60s, 70s. Right. The administrator, people say, Mr. Cobbs, you're not that stereotypical administrator I saw or I remember when I deal with the parents. I said, I'm here to be a resource for your students. I want them to be successful in their 4 years of high school, but I really want them to be successful in their post-secondary decisions. Mm-hmm. And I feel that the deans of students are just that. We make the connections you asked earlier about the teachers and the guidance counselors and things like that. We tie those things together. But, I can't say enough about Chief Campanello, Lieutenant Gossam, and Officer Scholar, and what they have done to create this collaborative environment, whether it be working with Rosa Francis with the Distractology, which is a program that we run for texting and driving or impaired driving awareness. The Gloucester PD has just been great.
You running for office?
No.
Sounded like it. All right, I hope that you can set me up with an interview between you and Mike Scholar as well, because I'd love to talk with him. Final question, though, Chris, is so what's the next step in this process of getting a game change implemented into the high school? What comes next?
All right, so the game change is going to be a 3-day training with both Officer Scholar and I attending. With that being said, it's 2 days of curriculum, one day of scenario, and then fingers crossed we get, when it dwindles down to the 30 schools, that we will then get that as well. And with that being said, like I said, I just think it's a major need for the city of Gloucester, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
Cool. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, that is Dean of Students Chris Cobbs at Gloucester High School with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.